give thanks. That is a thought that is on our minds, especially this time of the year. Our message today is a proper perspective on thanksgiving. And I think that that song shows us a proper perspective on thanksgiving. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Why? Because of what the Lord has done for me. And you see, that's a proper perspective of thanksgiving. The following proclamation was made by Governor Bradford in 1623. That was 3 years after the Pilgrims had settled at Plymouth Rock. And it goes like this: To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as He has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all His blessings. What a proclamation. And this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. It is a day in which we, like these early pilgrims, will set aside a time from our busy schedules to give thanks to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I highly recommend it. But at the same time, this Word of God tells us that that should be a continual daily attitude that we have of giving thanks unto God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. It tells Christians to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says, and listen, every verse has something specific. Verse 17 or 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now I want you to notice in those two particular sets of scriptures that Paul's main subject there is praise and thanksgiving. And so we could focus on those two words, praise and thanksgiving. But I want you to also notice there are some other important words in these passages. The words always, without ceasing, in everything or in all things, in other words, in all circumstances. And so we're to praise and we're to be thankful always without ceasing for everything or in everything. Now it sounds almost as if Paul is talking about a worship service here, doesn't it? Especially the passage in Ephesians where he says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody or music in your heart. But he isn't talking about a worship service here in these verses. He is talking about a continual attitude of Christians. He is talking about an attitude of the heart, how we are to be with each other and to each other. But we might wonder, well, how can we have this attitude of praise And this attitude of thanksgiving, especially in all circumstances, in every situation in life. And I believe the answer lies in the perspective of thanksgiving that we have. We need to have a proper perspective of our circumstances, and we need to have a proper perspective of our God. Only then will we be able to give thanks unto the Lord always. Now, first of all, I want to note something. I believe that there are three attitudes that we might have that would steal our gratitude, that would keep us from having that constant attitude and proper perspective on thanksgiving. Three things that would keep us from being thankful always. And number one is our pride. Pride is the attitude that says, nobody gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. I went to school, spent years, and studied hard, and now it is finally paying off. Well, with this kind of attitude, we feel that we have no one to thank for where we are and what we have but ourselves. And so our pride would keep us from being thankful. Another attitude would be that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a constant complaining. Now, I know none of us fall into that category of complaining and being critical, do we? Instead of being grateful, this is the person who always finds something to complain about. It's like the lady who was known as an incurable grumbler. She was constantly complaining about everything. And finally, one day, her preacher thought he had found something for which she would be happy, and that was that all of her farm crops had come in, and they were the finest in all of the land for miles and miles around her. And so when he met with her, he said with a big smiling beam on his face, "You must be very happy this year, Mary, because everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." And she looked at him and she said, "Well, yes, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need bad potatoes to feed the pigs?" You see, even when things were good, a great crop, she found something to complain about, something to grumble about. That robs us of thanksgiving and gratitude. And then a third attitude that keeps us from being grateful, I think, is just carelessness. Plain and simple, carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, that we would most likely all stay up all night long looking at the stars and just observing their beauty. But you know what? They only come out every night, and we've become accustomed to them. It reminds me of the Israelites. They grumbled as they were going through the wilderness. They grumbled because they had no food, and so God miraculously gave them the manna. It covered the ground every morning. They had plenty to eat. Every day it was there except the Sabbath day. And what happened? They started to grumble and complain because it was the same thing every day, day after day. Here they had a miracle straight from God every day of their lives, and they were no longer satisfied, and they no longer gave thanks unto God. And so because of pride or carelessness or a critical spirit, we will never be truly thankful for all that God has given to us. But if we would all adopt an attitude of thanksgiving into our lives, then our lives would be changed. We would see things in a different way, and we would savor each and every day of life. If any nation in the world ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it is America. And if any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for all of His goodness, it is we Christians. Now, this morning, I want to just share with you three things that the Scriptures teach us about thanksgiving. Number one is that our thanksgiving should be expressed. It should be expressed. Look at Psalm 100. That marvelous psalm says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come before his presence with thanksgiving." David in Psalm 107 said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why, David? "For it is good." It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So we should express our thanks to God and to others. You remember in Luke chapter 17, we're told about 10 men who were lepers, and Jesus had healed all 10 of those men of their leprosy. And after he had healed them, he sent them on their way and told them to go unto the priest and to tell the priest. And out of those 10 men, only one came back to thank Jesus for what he had done. And when that one returned, Jesus said, "Well, where are the nine? There were 10 of you. Where are the other nine?" Here's the only one who was willing to come back and offer thanks. Say to Jesus, "Thank you." And because of that, I want you to notice that Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus said this to the man? Why he would say that to him? I mean, he, just like the others, he had already been healed. He had already been made well when Jesus had healed them of their leprosy and told them to go unto the priest and to show themselves to the priest. But when Jesus says to this one man, "Your faith has made you whole," he wasn't talking about physical healing here, was he? He's talking about more than that here to this man. He is talking about a spiritual healing. He is talking about a mental healing. In other words, the man was made whole, and his faith had made him whole, complete. Now, I think we too are made whole by our thanksgiving, just like this man was made whole by his thanksgiving. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude, sincere thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. It is the healthiest of all human emotions. Gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. So be thankful. A thankful heart will endear others to us, and it will endear us to others. So you see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but it's also good for the receiver. And I believe that God appreciates our thanksgiving. And the reason is because it exalts Him and it glorifies Him. Thanksgiving endears us to Him, and it draws us closer to Him. If we're not grateful, and if we're not thankful, I believe that in expressing our thanksgiving, I believe it can have an opposite effect upon us. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 1:21. Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, I think that passage seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away. People that are ungrateful to God, their hearts will become hardened. Their hearts will become darkened. And so it's the opposite effect, you see, of showing gratitude and being thankful. So here we see pride keeping people from worshiping God and from being thankful. So thanksgiving should be expressed, first of all. Secondly, our thanksgiving should be expansive. As thanksgiving expands, I think it covers three basic areas. First of all, the blessings of life. Now, this is an easy one, isn't it? Because all of us can think of things in our life, the blessings of life, the various ways in the past year that God has blessed us individually or blessed our families. We can all think of these things. I want to ask you, though, how many of you each evening stand in your kitchen and thank God for a sink full of dirty dishes? Anybody? I don't. I doubt if we do. And yet, I want to say that we should. Now, why do I say that? I say that because a sink full of dirty dishes means that God has blessed us with daily food and water. He's blessed us to eat. Do you realize that two-thirds of the world goes to bed hungry every night? And we have a sink full of dirty dishes that shows that we have been fed and watered. I think of our praying oftentimes, and especially perhaps our prayers and when we give thanks at a meal. Our prayers so often are very general, aren't they? Just think of it. I think of it, and I've really thought about this in my praying. You know, we sit and we're praying, thanking God at the blessing of the meal, and we just say, "Thank you, God, for all of our blessings this day." And it's just a general statement. But what blessings are we really thankful for? What are the individual blessings that you and I are thankful for? We sang the hymn just a moment ago, "Count your blessings in general." Right? No. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. So we ought to count our blessings and name them one by one. So our thanksgiving should be include our blessings, but our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life. Now this is the tough one. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything, give thanks." Now that's tough, isn't it? This is hard to do. In other words, give thanks in all circumstances, in everything that we go through. Ephesians 5:20 again says, "Give thanks always for all things." And you know, as we think about Paul writing that, we might think, well, you know, maybe Paul just made a mistake here. But we know that's not true. Or we might be thinking, well, you know, Paul, it's easy for Paul to say this. It wasn't easy for Paul to say that because he suffered from some very difficult things in his life. And he called them merely a thorn in the flesh. But I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells some of the things that he suffered. Paul says that he had been run out of town, he had been beaten, he had been whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by his friends. He knew what it was to be naked and cold and hungry. He had been shipwrecked and he had been stoned and left for dead. All because of his faith in Christ Jesus. So we can't say that Paul didn't know what he was talking about, or it was easy for Paul to say that. And Paul said several things in his writings that show us that he had the proper perspective on thanksgiving and on the burdens of life. Listen in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, at what Paul says. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In other words, all of these shipwrecks and stonings and whippings and beatings and imprisonments, all of these things are nothing. They're not anything to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see, there's the proper perspective on the burdens of life. In the Corinthian letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Now boy, this is a tough one too. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Take pleasure in them. And then Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, all of these negative things, all of these burdens of life, all of these trying things in life, all of these things that have happened to me have really turned out for the good and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you see, Paul had a proper perspective on the burdens of life. Now I think when we, like Paul, have a proper perspective, then we can give thanks in all our circumstances. Because in our weakness, God can make us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives. And He helps us through times that we could never have faced on our own. And we all have those times, don't we? And we might wonder, how am I going to get through this? Well, when we're looking to God, and we're trusting in Him, and we're thankful, then He's going to get us through those times that we could never face on our own. We need to learn to be thankful in the difficult circumstances that we face. Now, I want you to notice I said be thankful in the circumstances. And that's what Paul says here. Be thankful in the circumstances. In everything, give thanks. Be thankful to Him in them. Not for them, necessarily, but in them, that we're going through them. And being thankful in them allows God to use them for our greater good and for His glory. I think of the Philippian jailer. That Philippian jailer was ready to take his own life, because when that earthquake hit and all of his prisoners are set free, what saved him was the attitude that he saw in Paul and Silas during their difficult imprisonment. Because you remember that they're down in the bottom of the cell, the dungeon, and that was a deep pit in the ground. And they're down in that thing, they're chained, and yet they're singing and they're praising God. And all of a sudden the earthquake hits and the doors all open up and the chains all fall off. Now that man's ready to take his own life. But you know what? Paul and Silas knew God, and he knew that God would help them through all of this time. And because of their joy, the jailer and all of his household became Christians. You see that? You see the effect that it had? I think what we need to understand and realize sometimes is that others can come to Christ because of your example, especially in the midst of difficult times like this jailer. So our thanksgiving should include the benefits or the blessings. Our thanksgiving should include the burdens of life. And then thirdly, our thanksgiving should also include all of the benefits of life as well. We're taught in Scripture to consider all of His benefits. Just think about all of the benefits of God that are ours. I think of benefits, I guess we think of it in terms of employment and all, you know, and we think about the benefits that a company offers and, you know, I don't want to say health insurance, but I guess I have to. But anyway, all of those good benefits. Some provide retirement plans. And I'll tell you what, our retirement plan as Christians is out of this world. That's a benefit. It's a great benefit that is ours. I think of the Israelites. I mentioned them a moment ago when they're complaining and grumbling about the manna, that food that God provided miraculously every day. And when the Israelites focused on what they did not have, They failed to see all that they did have. And I think that's true with us when we think about the benefits. We focus so often upon what we do not have that we just fail to notice and take note of what we do have. We are constantly adding to our prayer list. Do you notice that in our, just look in our church bulletin. And I see that with a lot of churches. I get the Lane's church newsletter, and every month I notice their prayer list is bigger and bigger. It takes up a full 8.5 by 11 page. But we're always adding to our prayer lists, aren't we? I wonder, though, shouldn't we be adding to our praise list? Do we even have a praise list? Maybe as we have a prayer list, we ought to start a praise list, too. You know, and list all the things that we need to praise God for and give thanks to Him for. Now, we've all had difficult times. Maybe even times that we have despaired of life itself. Maybe we've gone through times like that. But you know, if we really look at all of the benefits of life, I think that we'll find that it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. To feel the wind on your face. To see the sunrise, to fall in love, to see a newborn baby for the first time, and to feel the hug of a child or a family member or a friend. It's good to be alive. Good to be alive. Those are special times. And as Christians, there are other benefits of life. We can be sure that we are forgiven, and we can be sure that we're free. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, it's so good to be alive. Now, not only should our thanksgiving be expressed and be expanded, but thirdly and last of all, our thanksgiving is expected. Look at what Paul says again. He says, give thanks in all things. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, it's the will of God. It's expected that we as Christians, that we as His children give thanks. That's God's will for us. And He knows that if we will do it, that our lives will be changed. Our lives will be different. I think that that expressing our thanksgiving gives three marks. One is that it's a mark of a growing Christian. For example, I think of little children. You know, and little children, until they're taught, are ungrateful. You know, until we teach them to say thank you. And even sometimes it takes an awful lot of teaching, doesn't it? Little children are ungrateful. They'll take whatever you hand them, or even if you don't hand it to them, they'll get it. But they have to be taught. It just doesn't come naturally to be thankful. Sometimes you have to almost force them to say thank you. But when we realize how blessed we are by others and by God, and we express that by saying thank you, then we're growing. That's a sign that we're a growing Christian. Secondly, our thanksgiving is also the mark of a giving Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us and how much He continues to do in our lives every day, then we should be more than happy to give something back to Him. We should be more than happy to express our gratitude unto Him. And I think that comes from giving our time and also our resources, giving back to Him. Someone has said that thanksgiving, to be real thanksgiving, must be thanks and giving. It's two words, isn't it? It is thanks and giving. In this last year, our families and And our church has been truly blessed by God. I think every one of us can look back in the year, and even though there have been a lot of tough things that many of us have gone through in the last year, I think we have to say, and we can say, there are a lot of ways that we have been blessed. And just as God has blessed us, so we should bless His work by our giving. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift. Now let me ask you before I finish that sentence, do you have any good gifts in your life? Any good gifts that you've gotten in your life? Well, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift we have, and we've all received them. Now, it's interesting, when we go to a restaurant, we're more than happy to give a waitress, a good waitress, 15% of the bill. You know, that's the standard, isn't it? And it's hard for me to realize, then, why is it that so many people have a problem giving God 10%? And that's what He asked of us, 10% of what He has blessed us with. So you see, thanksgiving is thanks, and it is giving unto God. It's expressed in that way. We need to ask ourselves if we are truly thankful. And then remember that God loves a cheerful giver. Thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian. Thanksgiving is a mark of a giving Christian. And then the third thing is, I think thanksgiving is the mark of a glowing Christian. Have you ever noticed some people that just seem to have this thankful attitude all the time? They're always just praising God and thankful for everything, and there seems to be a glow that comes from them. They're glowing, you know, they're just so thankful and appreciative of everything that they have in life. We will not be constantly critical and pessimistic, but eternally thankful and glowing as we think about all of God's goodness, all of God's blessings in our life. And though the difficult times are just that, they are difficult times, they will not break us. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. In 4, verse 8 and 9, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And then in verse 17 and 18, he says, for our light affliction. Now, look at what Paul, how he describes all of the things he's going to. I mean, just these terms here, perplexed, despaired, you know, struck down, but not destroyed. And then he turns around and he says, now, but for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You see? In other words, Paul is saying, as he looks at all of these things that he has suffered in his life, all of the things that are constantly coming against him, and yet he has this grateful heart and grateful attitude, and yet he says, he calls them a light affliction, then he says, but they're only here for a moment. And when we look at things in the expanse of eternity, these things are only here for a moment. But these things, he says, is working, our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. In other words, Paul wasn't looking just at the circumstances, these light afflictions, but he's comparing that to glory. He's comparing that to eternity. And when he does that, then he sees he's looking at the things that are not seen rather than the things that are seen. Henry Frost served many years as a missionary in China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. He says, I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an island station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try thanksgiving. I did, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. So the psalmist was right. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord. Have you been going through some difficult times in your life? Have you prayed, but they're still there? Have you told yourself to keep on going and it would soon disappear, but it hasn't disappeared? Then try thanksgiving. Try thanksgiving. Give thanks unto God, because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty Father and our God in heaven, as we come before you this morning at the close of this service, indeed, Father, we have so much to be thankful for. As we look back over the past year, and in so many ways we see your hand. As you have been with us, you have guided us, you've directed us. We each one, Father, can see many ways and many things that you have done for us, and many ways that you have blessed us in our lives. We've had difficult times. We've had times and things that have happened in our lives that are hard to understand. And yet, our Father, you have brought us through. So help us, Lord, to be thankful. And help us not to just to be thankful this coming Thursday, but every day, Lord, may we pause, may we reflect upon the day, and may we say thank you, and then count our blessings and name them one by one. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.